God and reached out to us and gave us of the very, very oils that run up that tree of Israel, the very sap that runs up there, and we take of the promises of that.
Thank you, God.
I thank you that. My God, I pray that tonight you'd be well pleased to manifest the Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord.
And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now, amen.
I want to, just something Brother Clayton said, I want to go to Hebrews 4, verse 11 real quick.
Amen.
In fact, we'll go to verse 10. You know, this whole idea of works and labor and all this kind of stuff, and the skill that's missing today in America is the skill for a preacher to go out into a community and to carve out a people for Jesus Christ. That skill's almost gone.
That's missing, yeah.
That's right. You can't find a church anymore where they know how to do it.
Tenet.
All they do is churches today, they center in one place and people kind of think the same, come together there. But they don't know how to go out there and reach people and get a person who has no inclination whatsoever to be in the house of God.
Which,
when no inclination whatsoever of righteousness, they have no idea how to preach to that person and give them that inclination, give them that desire so that the Holy Ghost can work.
Right.
Now, one of the reasons is because the tools the Holy Ghost uses to deal with men isn't in men.
It's in it. You're right.
Oh, it's used to deal with men.
Lord have
mercy. Well, one of the things he deals with men is the law of God.
Right.
Go ahead, brother.
Right.
The law of God. The law was our school.
Sure.
The Son of Christ. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. By the laws of knowledge of sin. Adam and Eve in the garden, they had the knowledge of sin. They had the law.
Right.
They knew they ate of that tree of sin. What they never knew was evil.
It's evil.
They never had bad things happen to them. God said, I, the Lord, create evil.
Yep.
They never had that. They never had hurricanes, they never had earthquakes, they never had disease. They never had any of that stuff whatsoever. But they had the knowledge of sin. They knew if they broke that law, and it was over.
Okay?
They had that.
That's good.
Okay? Now, the thing is, the average person today has no knowledge of what's sin. No more than a fish knows what water is. You try to take a fish, show him a dictionary definition of water, he don't understand. He's in it, he's lived in it his whole life, but he doesn't know there's anything but that.
Yeah,
you don't even know it. Well, it used to be. Now, Brother Samuel, one of the greatest statements, so he's made many great statements, but a good one he's made. Now, I remember thinking about this, and I've quoted it many times. I don't give him the credit, I just say it. But the thing is, he just said when he went to school as a child, the schools were better places than any Christian school today.
Right.
Now, you think about that. I can't imagine going into my fourth grade class. I actually had a man in fourth grade classroom. I can't imagine using a dirty word in that classroom.
No.
Okay? I can't imagine disrespecting the American flag in front of Mr. Dean. All right? Can't imagine that.
No.
That man used to pick kids up by the ears and throw them.
Yep.
Okay? You go home and tell your parents he picked you up by the ears and threw them. You're afraid your parents would find out about it.
Sure.
All right?
Right. You're in trouble.
My goodness. Old Mr. Marcello, I had him in the seventh grade. He used to call me his outstanding student because I was outstanding in the hall almost every single day, you know, for one reason or another.
That's good.
You know, but you learn to respect. You learn that kind of, well, that isn't even there today. It's not there.
No, right.
You're not going to find that kind of respect whatsoever.
No.
It's not there. And so the thing is, you go ahead and tell a person they need to get saved. Saved from what? Okay? You tell them saved from hell, but the point is, they need to get saved, first of all, from themselves,
sin,
they are.
Right.
And they don't even see it's a problem.
Right.
They don't even begin to see it.
Sir.
Now, one of the mistakes people make dealing with people today is they think they have a conscience.
I see it.
They don't have a conscience today.
That's right.
They don't have a conscience. I minister in Allegheny County, New York, and I'm just telling you, just the ignorance, the squalor, poverty,
same.
Driveway after driveway, just old muddy driveway and some trailer, beat up house at the end of it somewhere, and dog tied up in the yard, and you know, car broken down outside of it, and some girl wearing sweatpants trying to go off at a minimum wage job, and some no good inside that house playing games on the computer, you know, trying to hide from his parole officer or whatever else. And you know, and that's how they live. As you go up and you talk to this fella and tell him, you know, you need Jesus Christ. You don't know he needs Jesus Christ, Lord. You tell him about his sins, he don't give a rip about his sins. This is a guy who stole from his mother. This is a guy that has slapped women. He don't have a conscience at work. But I'll tell you what the next row of defense is. He hurts.
Yep. Right.
The Lord told Israel, he said the whole head is sick.
Yes. Right.
Wounds are putrefied. Right. Okay. But he's like that horse that got loose in the oats.
Praise, preacher.
Horse get loose in the oats, it'll just eat until it dies.
Sure. Yeah.
It's stomach. Our next door neighbor, old Mr. Motens, he talked about a horse he used to work in the fields with. He said that horse would get loose in the apple orchard. And they used to have to go out there and kick the horse. And it would lay on its side and take a knife and slit its belly. Yeah. And that horse, all that gas would come out of there. He said the next day that horse could work again. Can you imagine having to work a horse like that? It'd get loose going off that apple orchard again.
Wow.
And such. But the thing is, why don't that horse quit when its stomach's hurt? Why, when its belly's ripping open with grain, why won't it quit? Okay? Because God never gave a horse that kind of sense. He gave a pig that kind of sense. He gave a cat that kind of sense, but a horse hasn't got it. But a sinner doesn't have that kind of sense.
Right.
That sinner can hurt so bad with that sin that it's doing and never, ever have a clue where that pain's coming from.
Right.
Doesn't have a clue. And when the man of God goes up there and explains to him, you're hitting yourself in the head with a hammer, buddy. And if you quit hitting yourself in the head with a hammer, it wouldn't hurt there.
That's it.
Okay? As my daddy used to say to me, he said, John, you're hitting yourself in the head with a hammer.
Wow.
You know, he was just trying to say, you're a fool, boy. You're a fool, all right? Quit hitting yourself in the head with a hammer there. It won't hurt so bad.
Good.
And so what I find is we get these guys coming in, and their life's just a mess. Just a mess. And you show them something from the Word of God.
Yeah.
Some little thing that if you quit doing this, this will quit happening.
Yeah, right.
And they come in the next week and say, you know, Pastor, we had a good Friday night.
It's good.
I walked in the door and my mama cussed me out and was mad at my girlfriend, but I can't live anywhere else because parole, you know, I told him I'm living there. And you know, my mama hates my girlfriend. And my girlfriend's child broke something in my mama's and she cussed me out when I walked in the door. And he said, I remember what you said about giving her honor. I said, Mom, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry she broke that.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting us live here. You know, we had a good Friday night. We popped popcorn, watched movies and such. And he ain't had a Friday night like that in a long time. See, it's been a long time. And so, you know what? Out of those 31,170-some verses, he knows one of them's from God.
Right.
He's never known any verses were from God before, but he knows that one is.
Yeah.
And slowly we begin to sow those verses into his life. And he begins to notice when he follows them, he don't hurt his back.
That's good.
Now let me tell you something. One of the hardest things going is that old boy's conscience begins to work again.
Yeah.
Now years ago, I read the story of Glenn Cunningham. People who grew up in the 30s and 40s, they knew who Glenn Cunningham was. He was the first man to ever break the 4-minute mile.
Wow.
Okay? In other words, it was 4 minutes and 54 seconds or something like that. No one had ever done that before. Where when you clicked him on that mile, it didn't say 5 minutes and something, it was 4 something. No one had ever done that. And Glenn Cunningham was in an explosion when he was about 10 or 12 years old. And he was in an explosion at a schoolhouse. And it burned his legs so bad that the doctor told his mother, we got to cut them legs off. He just stood there as this boy, and he just in agony, and he told his mother, don't let him cut my legs off. Don't let him cut my legs off. And the doctor's explaining to her, if they don't cut those legs off, gangrene's going to set in there. He's going to die. And they're giving him morphine and things to make him fall asleep. And he was just so willpower, he wouldn't let him fall asleep. And his mother's begging him to go under. And he finally said, if you promise me they won't cut my legs off, I'll go under. And she promised. He went under. That doctor goes to get the sub on. She said, no. Promising. He said, he's going to die. She said, I promised him.
Yeah.
Well, she washed those legs down every day. She would take water and different stuff, and she'd wash those legs. They didn't have penicillin and sulfur drugs and all that. We're doing 1910, 1911, 1912 back then. They'd wash those legs down. She'd wash them every day. He told the story of just day after day in that bed, his mother just bleary, washing those legs down. And finally they healed.
Amen.
But they were just scars over bone.
Yep.
The doctor came to him then. He said, Glenn, let me cut those legs off now. He said, there's no feeling in them. He said, what's going to happen now? You're just going to be dragging them around and you'll actually get around better if I cut them legs off. Glenn said, no, we ain't doing it. And he talked about his mother every day kneading and massaging those, just those sticks,
right,
that scar tissue over there. And one day the blood ran back into them legs.
Right.
And they said, you could hear him scream for miles. The pain and the agony when that blood came back into those legs. Let me tell you something. I've been in the house of God when sinners got their conscience
back. Yep. Yes, sir.
You talk about agony.
Yep.
You talk about agony.
Yes, sir.
You talk about hurt.
Yep.
All that stuff they've been ignoring and hardening their heart to, and the awful stuff that they've done. The terrible stuff that they've done. And that conscience comes back. Let me tell you something. It's a terrible time.
Terrible.
Okay? It's a hard time to sit with those sinners.
Right.
Okay? What is that? That's the Holy Ghost putting the tools inside of them so that God can save that person.
That's good.
Now let me tell you something. That people have prayed the sinner's prayer 100 times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you realize in the 12 years that I've been at the Black Creek Baptist Church, I have not had one single person ever come in who at some time in their life hadn't prayed the sinner's prayer.
See.
And I've had guys, you'd have guys think, no way in the world has this guy ever done it. You know, this guy been in and out of jails, and he's on his third or fourth concubine, and paying child support all over the place, and such. Just a wretched mess, and not a bit of education or anything.
Right.
And you go ahead, and finally he's under conviction. Something's talking. Oh, when I was 10, my grandma took me to a VBS, and we prayed this prayer.
Right.
See? And all it's done is we've made the world twofold more of hell than they were before. Why? Because how shall they call upon him in whom they have not
believed?
And see these idiot fundamentalists, these idiot fundamentalists, these idiot fundamentalists, these children out of hell.
Yeah. Right.
So going around and told everybody, pray this prayer and you'll be saved. No, you got to believe before that prayer does any good.
That's right.
And Jesus had an awful lot to say about belief.
Sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
How can you believe which receive honor one from another and not the honor which cometh from God only? Okay?
Right.
Good.
How can you? And he said, if you believe Moses, you would have believed me.
Right.
That's what he said.
You would have believed me.
Oh, boy.
Yep. It's good, man.
People say, well, Jews believe Moses. They don't believe Jesus. No, they don't believe Moses.
No, they don't. That's right.
If they believe Moses, they'd be saved. Yeah. Jesus said that.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what I do with Jews? I teach them Moses.
Right.
And they stand there fascinated when I'm teaching them Moses.
Yes, son, preacher.
I remember one time we had this old Jewish girl. She's coming there to the services. And I was preaching. I was teaching on that Passover lamb. And I'm preaching on that blood here and that blood there and this blood there. And that Jewish goes, the cross! The cross, okay?
Right.
Teaching Moses, see? Yeah. Teaching Moses. The Holy Ghost will teach the cross.
Right.
Holy Ghost will teach Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Now you watch this in Hebrews chapter 4.
Yep. Happy Lord.
Amen.
Look at verse 10. For he that has entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works, as God did from him. There's not a single work you can do that will ever commend you to God. But now watch the next verse. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Now, it seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? You know why? Because labor and work are two different things.
Right. That's right.
It's good.
We have a Jew that comes to our church every 2 years. I mean a Jew. This guy lives in Beersheba, Israel. This guy, you've heard Avi preach and such and that. We've let him in, come teach this thing. He loves King James Bible believing Baptists. You're like Jews, he says. You argue over little words. And he loves that. But you know what? He got up and he taught us the difference between labor and work. And he said, your King James Bible has it perfect.
Yeah.
Hey.
This man reads Hebrew Bible, read it all his life. Okay? He read Hebrew and he can think in Hebrew like you can think in English. Okay? And he said this. He said, labor and work are two different things. He said, work is forbidden on the Sabbath.
Right.
But not labor. Mm-hmm. Now, what's the difference? Work changes things.
Yeah.
And he took us Exodus 31, and he showed everything Bezalel made was work. It changed things.
Uh-huh.
Okay? You go ahead and say, I'm going to make a table. You make a table. But if I go wash that table off, that's labor. I didn't change anything.
Right.
I didn't change the nature of that table. I didn't change anything. That's why Jesus Christ said, you go lead an ox out of the ditch. It's labor. That's not work.
Right.
Okay? That's not work. So the point is, there's no work that can save you, but you know one of the reasons people don't get saved today? Because they won't labor.
That's it, preacher.
They won't sit under the preaching. They won't look at the words of God. Right. They won't examine their own selves, and they won't do that. Okay? Mm-hmm. They won't do it.
That's right.
Amen, preacher.
I make my people linger.
Right.
You get in there and you find out what the word of God says.
Right.
We live in a day and age when God's so grieved with this country. You know, the same Jesus Christ. The people walked up and touching him in great miracles. He stood in Capernaum and it says he could not do many works.
That's right.
Because of the unbelief. Well, what do you think it's like in America in the year 2019?
Yep.
Let me tell you something. God is so grieved with this country, and you try to preach the word of God, things where a man, when they got saved 40, 50 years ago, where men would have crawled on the sidewalk looking for salvation.
That's right.
And you preach to them today and they can't get it through their head. You can't get the Spirit of God to even work with them.
That's right.
Plead and beg God to work.
Yeah. Hi, preacher.
I preached for some years with a fellow. We street preached in different places. And he finally came to the conclusion that he was as lost could be. He didn't have Bible salvation.
Preach.
Clean cut, one wife. Preaching the King James Bible. And he finally realized, I've never come to repentance. Billy Sunday said, hell will be so full of preachers, their feet will stick out the windows, he said. Okay? And I'll tell you what, he labored for some time in agony. One of the hardest things to do is get a person saved that's religious.
Yeah, right.
Real hard. When he got saved, here's what he told me. He said, John, he said, if God poured a conviction out in America right now so hard that sinners crawled out of their houses like lobsters out of a boiling pot, there's not enough people in America to show them how to be saved.
Right.
Could even tell them what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay? Couldn't even tell them. It's the day and age we live in.
Yep.
The Apostle Paul talked about that measure of grace.
Yes.
Each man of God's given a measure of grace. I used to worry because I couldn't pray like praying Hyde. I can't pray like Sam Elliott. And I used to tell myself there's something wrong. Well, there is a lot wrong with me. Okay, there is. But I realized one day God didn't give me that measure of grace. I can't pray things in like George Mueller could.
Right.
You know, I wanted to stand and preach to thousands like Oliver Green or something. Set up a tent in Winston-Salem, 7,000 people in 1 month. I've met them people 30, 40, 50 years afterwards, still lifting up holy hands without batting down, okay?
Yeah, it's good.
It used to bother me that I didn't have that measure of grace.
It's good.
That's not what God gave me. God gave me a measure of grace to reach even unto those that I preached to.
Hallelujah.
God showed me just a couple of things. Think of that. You know what A.W. Tozer said? He said a man is worthless to God till God's utterly defeated him, like he defeated Jacob in a wrestling match.
Well, like that.
When God's absolutely broken you, defeated you, and you're defeated in the eyes of everybody, God can do something with
you.
And there's not a man anywhere can defeat you because you've been whooped by God. Okay?
Right.
Good. Good.
Go with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. We're going to preach the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Heaven more.
Almost 12 and a half years ago, my family and I stumbled across a little church. 6 miles out of Cuba, New York. See how big is Cuba, New York? Got 1,100 people in it. Pretty big place.
Okay.
7 miles out of Belfast, New York. How big is that? Oh, probably got a good 800 people. Okay. It ain't on the way to anywhere. We stumbled across this little church and went in there. And I had a tie on. My wife had a dress on. My daughter had a dress on. The little boys had ties on. We thought we'd see what they had going on Wednesday night. We walked in there, and 7 o'clock, no one was there. Pretty soon, a girl in short shorts shows up, unlocks the door. Oh, my dad will be along. Okay. Pretty soon, her dad comes along. I mean, that man just as obese as could be, and all this oxygen stuff on him, not a tooth in his head. Shows up, and friendly, glad we're there. He said, well, the preacher will be here. The preacher come in out of a field. Now, I have a lot of respect for that. You know, I do. A preacher coming in out of a field, still got some dirt on him and such, coming to the house of God and such. That's about all you can respect about this guy, all right? But he came in there, and about three or four old people showed up. And that guy, he didn't have anything. He didn't have a game. He didn't have nothing, okay? They kind of sang a song, and some old people, and they still had the tradition where the women would go one place and men would go another, you know, to pray afterwards, and all. Well, that's good. I get alone in this room, and that preacher, he's probably 65, 70 years old or something like that. He didn't have any teeth in his head. And the old guy, the first one, said, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "Yeah." "Would you be our preacher?" I thought, well, that's the last thing I'll do on this earth, is be out here. This is the middle of nowhere. New York's a dying state. Every census, it loses people. New York's controlled by people 6 hours away from us. Totally different culture, totally different people. You get to Allegheny, Cattaraugus County, Chautauqua County, it's like being in West Virginia. It's like being in Western Pennsylvania or something. Just a total different breed of people living there. They have no idea how we live. They don't even really understand that part of the state is there. They lay all these taxes and burdens and such on there, and the factories move. And you know, just to give you an idea, house behind us, four-bedroom house, three-car garage. That house is threadbare, but not falling down in one bit whatsoever. Just as solid in every corner, every roof line, everything. Vinyl siding, vinyl replacement windows. Sold for $20,000.
Wow.
People walk away from houses. There's no work.
Right.
They just walk away. State sends in more welfare workers and then destroys the economy more with their laws and their nonsense.
Yep.
Oh, it's coming to the rest of the United States. New York's just on the front line.
Right.
It's coming to the rest of the United States. We're just on the front line.
That's right. Okay?
3 miles away from an Indian reservation where they put a little casino to get whatever little money they could out of whoever's left or whatever else and such. And I told that fellow, I said, "You already got a preacher." He points to that guy and said, "He's just an interviewer. He's supposed to find us one." Okay. Well, they all left, and that preacher grabbed me in the parking lot. I said, "Please don't come here." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "They give me $100 a week. I couldn't live without that." That old boy would have sold his mother for $100. Right? I'm telling you.
Well, Travis, yeah. Clay was.
Yeah. And I went home and I thought, "Buddy, your $100 is pretty safe. I'm not really worried about going to Allegheny County, New York." You know, I couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
You know, going there, and got home, and the Lord just grabbed my heart and said, "No, you're going to go there."
How about that?
I had to call that fellow and say, "All right, I'm gonna candidate." And he dragged in on a good 10 weeks. Got anybody coming? "Oh, no, we can't do it this week, can't do it that week." But I told those people, I said, "Look," I said, "two things we're going to do. Number one," I said, "I've run businesses before." And I said, "You're going to give that man 12 weeks of severance pay."
How about that?
Because he did what you told him to do. He came here and he found a preacher. Well, he didn't find any. He stayed there until we got one, okay? I said, "Number two, we're going to record every word I say. It's going to be a teaching ministry." They didn't have a problem with that. God's blessed that little church. God's found the broken. Let me tell you something about those old people. I praise God for them.
Yeah.
Because I brought some pretty rough people in there.
Yeah.
They put up with them. Okay? They did. They put up with them. I sat there preaching. You look out there and there's state troopers off the front. Because a guy called, I wouldn't take him home in the middle of services, and he said I'd kidnap him. The troopers,
oh, no.
Troopers were trying to explain to him that ain't kidnapping. Meanwhile, you know, you're preaching those lights in the sanctuary, they get out there, people busted into fights in the middle of the church, husbands and wives cussing each other and such. But you know what? God's turned some of them into saints of God. Saints of God. Saints of God.
Thank the Lord.
Saints of God. These ladies had come in there, and they weren't ladies when they come in. And they'd ask my wife, "How come you wear dresses?" And she explained to them,
"Yes, sir.
This is something my husband and I have decided. It's a sanctity."
That's good.
Okay? Makes it a little different. You'd see the next week, they'd been to a thrift store, and they'd wear something that'd almost embarrassing to look at it. You know, they'd not wear a dress. You know, they'd come in there, couldn't hide the tattoos and the piercings and all that. They'd wear that dress, and it'd look kind of ridiculous or whatever else. But you know what? After a while, they learned it.
Coming along, man.
I got some of them, I even put a pair of drawers on in 10 years. And I never preached that. Yeah. We just preached Jesus Christ.
Sure.
Preach holiness.
That's good.
You know, they got a hold of this thing and decide they wanted to live a little bit different.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Christmas verse here. The angel talking to Mary. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, yeah, and the power of the highest, yeah, shall overshadow thee. And therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Trinity's in that verse.
Yes, sir.
The highest, that's the Father.
Right.
Okay. The Holy Ghost.
Right.
We all know who he is.
Oh, yeah, Holy Ghost.
That Son of God.
Right.
That holy thing. Does that ever bother anybody that he's called a thing? You know why? He's talking about the body.
Yes. Right.
Do you realize that the soul of Jesus Christ isn't the Son of God?
Mm.
He's been God all along. He wasn't born of the Father.
Right.
Do you realize the Spirit of Jesus Christ isn't the Son of God? He's eternal, existent. There's never been a time he was born.
It's good.
It's the body, that holy thing, is called the Son of God.
Uh-huh.
Now, let me tell you something. We have a lot of single ladies that give birth in Allegheny County.
Yeah.
In fact, in the United States, that's not more common. More common than married women having babies.
Right.
Okay? It's all part of the destruction of this country. It's all part of its damnation. It's, yeah, all part of the humiliation. It's all part of that the people rose up to eat and drink, you know, and to play and right, such. Right. And that destruction and rubbing our faces in sin and grime and such.
Right.
Yeah. And on Black Creek, we love them, ladies. And again, we've seen some where God's done some wonderful things.
Hallelujah.
We've seen some just go back to the slop.
Yeah.
Just go back to the nonsense or whatever else. But the first thing that Allegheny County does when these women have these, they want to know, who is the daddy? We're going to get some money off this boy. We're going to garner his wages. And a lot of them women, like hitting the saw blade, trying to figure out which tooth got you.
Right?
You know, they've been playing with the saw, but there have been so many guys, and so they do DNA tests. And that sounds like a lottery.
What?
Okay? Like a lottery. The guys line up, see which one of us, you know. And woo, this guy wins the lottery. It's going to cost you $75 a week for the rest of your life. All right? You won the lottery. Now, in Allegheny County, they'd have taken Mary, and they'd have said, now, really, who's the daddy?
Yeah.
Joseph's the daddy. No, he's not the daddy. Now, Joseph took responsibility because God told him to, yeah, but he ain't the daddy. And you know what? If they did a DNA test on Jesus Christ and searched every man in the world, they'd have never found the daddy. Because he's the Son of God.
Yes,
God is his Father.
That's right.
God is his Father.
Sure.
Okay? So when we talk about the Son of God, we're not talking about the soul of Jesus Christ that was made an offering for sin. We're not talking about the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which rejoiced in so many things, grieved in so many things.
Right.
We're talking about the body of Jesus Christ. That holy thing which is born of thee will be called the Son of the Highest.
Right.
He's the Son of God. The body is the Son of God.
Man.
Okay? And let me tell you something else. That body is God.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
That body is God.
Yes, sir.
See, a lot of the fundamentalists, here's how they teach the Trinity. Well, all the Godhead was in a man's body. Well, that's what I am.
Right.
I got all the Godhead when I got Jesus. He's a multivitamin. For in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When I got him, the entire Godhead dwelt in a man.
Yes, sir.
Okay? The problem is I have sinful flesh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So much so that God had to adopt, and he hasn't adopted it yet, has to adopt this flesh. God doesn't need to adopt my soul. Okay? He hath made him to be sin for us that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you realize my soul and my spirit, they're born of God. They are his righteousness. When God looks down at my soul and he looks down at my spirit, he sees his righteousness. But when he looks at my body, he sees this thing that Russell Maynard Asquith Jr. begat 65 years ago. And let me tell you something. He said, boy, the best you can do is offer that up to me. It's a living sacrifice.
Right.
Ain't never gonna
pay. All right.
All right. Now, go to Romans chapter 8.
Preach it, buddy.
Romans chapter 8.
Doing good.
I like that.
Yes, sir.
Look at verse 15.
Oh, yeah.
For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear.
Thank you, Lord.
But you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Oh, yeah.
One of the great studies you do in the Word of God is to study the seven spirits of carnal man. The spirit of fear. Okay? The spirit of error. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Mm-hmm. His own spirit. That spirit of bondage. You'll find him in there. Okay? Yeah. And then God comes in there, kicks all them out, Jesus Christ. Puts them all over that carnal nature and puts in, I'm telling you, the seven spirits of God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, yeah. God the Father, come in a man. They're like an Israeli commando team taking over an airplane. Yeah. Right. You know, coming in there, kicking them terrorists out of there, taking over that pilot seat.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, putting all that nasty carnal stuff to the side.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Right, sure it is.
Okay, let us play a little bit. You know, now we sit there and all of a sudden that carnal nature whisper.
Hey, man.
Just let me loose a little bit. Yeah. Just let me run your mouth a little bit, you know? And I've been a fool, Brother Travis, a lot of times. I've let it happen,
yeah.
Okay? You realize that when Moses died, we wouldn't know this reading the Old Testament, but the devil tried to get his body. Did you ever wonder what he'd do with it? Mm. Walk back down to that camp? Imagine what he'd done walking back down to that camp. That's why the Apostle Paul said, yeah, even if I come preach another gospel, he wasn't even sure that couldn't happen to him. Mm-hmm. Even if I come preach another gospel, I'd be cursed, okay? You know what the devil wants? If I could just have your mouth for the next 3 minutes, just for 3 minutes, if I could have your eyes here, your hands for the next couple minutes, if I could just have them for a couple minutes here, see? And oh, how many times I've wept because I gave my eyes over.
Sure. Yeah.
How many times I've wept because I've given my hands over.
Yes, sir.
How many times I've wept because I gave my mouth over. Okay? And oh, the damage that's done.
That's right.
Oh, the damage, the damage, the damage.
Yes, sir.
He gave it the spirit that we cry, Abba, Father. Now look at verse 16. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And that is the only proof of salvation.
Yes, sir.
That's the only proof of salvation. It's not what prayer you prayed. That's the whole problem with fundamentalists today. What prayer did you pray? Oh, you must be saved. I mean, there's so many people. More people have gone to hell over whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved than anything the Mormons ever did, anything Jehovah's Witnesses ever
That's
did.
That's right.
Anything the Catholics ever did.
Yeah.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the next verse is screaming, How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed?
Right.
How? And the fundamentalist just closes his ears to that. Yeah. No, no. Little girl is struggling. Did you ever pray this prayer? Go home. Don't worry about it.
Right.
They inoculate them against Jesus Christ.
Sir.
You know what inoculation is? You give somebody a little bit of the real thing so they never get the whole thing.
Yeah. That's
right. See?
But
salvation is a rare thing in independent fundamental Baptist churches today.
Sure.
And the rapture won't slow down the average bus ministry.
Right. Huh.
The buses will go right out the next day. Right out.
That's right.
Mine.
The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
And if the children then heirs of God, John, you know what John Bunyan said from jail? He said it dawned on him one day, I inherited God himself. Heirs of God, all right? And joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, saved, which ain't be glorified. You're going to share that glory if you don't share the suffering.
Right.
There's two types of inheritance in your Bible. Israel had an inheritance that was, they couldn't lose their land. You sell your land. What happened to Jubilee? Came right back to you. An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. They couldn't get rid of it.
Right.
But what about your inheritance in a walled city? If you read the law, you know what it said? You sold that, you had 1 year to get it back. And if you didn't get it back, it's gone forever. And you'll find those same two things here. Your salvation, you can't get rid of that.
Right.
But your inheritance in that walled city up there, you sell it, you probably got about a year to get it back.
Mm.
You probably got about a year.
How about okay? That?
There are certain things I wonder if I haven't lost inheritance. I really do. Mm. And I don't say that lightly. There's certain things that I just wonder if I step too far with God that it's gone. Okay? Because he talks all the time. It's always inheritance that you lose. Inheritance. It's in that walled city. You go back, it's in that law. Okay? Says it. Shows you that. Spells it out. That's why the Apostle Paul said the things of that law, if there be anything contrary to sound doctrine, how do you know? You always judge it by the law to see.
Right.
Calvinist comes up and tells you, well, there are certain people that God made. No fault or good in them. He just painted them before time.
Yeah.
You know what the law said? A man's damned that does that.
Right.
If they found out you hated a man before time, even if you killed him accidentally, they hung you for murder.
Right.
If you hated him before time, then they say, well, God did that. No, God didn't do that. I don't believe such an unlawful God. Somebody said, God's not a Trinity. Then he ain't God. You know why? Because at the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. Right. How do I know God was back there? Because the Holy Ghost said God the Father's there. The Word said God the Father's there. How do you know the Word was there? Because the Holy Ghost said the Word was there.
Right.
The Father said he's there. See? How do you know the Holy Ghost was there? Because the Father said he's there. And the Word said he's there. Alright? See? That's a lawful God. And any God that ain't the Trinity ain't a lawful God.
Right.
Who?
Verse 18, the Apostle Paul said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It's there right now. Right now. Person saved and born again, that glory's right there. Okay? If God could ever unbutton that shirt of your flesh and open it up, it would blind the eyes of people to see that glory. Okay? That's the glory of Almighty God. That's the glory that entered the temple, and the priests couldn't labor in there. Moses himself couldn't go in the tabernacle with that glory. And you know what? The law of God can't minister in that glory. Mm-hmm. The priest can't go in there. It's sitting inside of you. And then he says this, verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now here in the creature, he's talking about the creation. He's actually talking about the earth itself.
Mm-hmm.
The earth didn't want all this sin going on. It didn't want blood crying out from the earth. It didn't want that going on. Didn't want it. It can't wait for that moment when the sons of the God turn inside out. One day you'll turn inside out, Brother Travis. Turn inside out. That glory will be on the outside.
Amen.
That glory will be there.
Right.
And the earth can't wait for it. The earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's called the restoration of all things, okay? That's called the regeneration. That's when the lamb and the lion can lay down together. The wolf will eat straw like an ox. I mean, it's just a glorious time. God makes it all over, okay? Just a glorious time. It can't wait for that time to come.
Right, right.
Don't like what's going on right now. Verse 22, for we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth and pain together until now. You ask any geologist what happens when he puts his sound equipment down in the earth. It's groaning.
Uh-huh.
It's hurting.
Sure.
Okay? Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Now you think about this. God's going to remake this entire universe. And when he does, there won't be sin. Oh, there will be. It'll be in the lake of fire.
Right.
The whole universe will be subject to God. The whole universe will be perfect and righteous and holy. He said, we have the first fruits of it right here. Do you realize that when you get up there, God won't change a thing on the inside of you? He said, that's exactly what I want it to be. That's the first fruits of that new life. That's the first fruits of that regeneration. Yeah. The washing of regeneration. Yeah. The renewing of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Yeah.
Right. It's good.
Good.
Thank you. And then he says this. We'll read the rest of that verse. Start at the beginning of that verse again. Not only they, but ourselves also, which had the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit. What is the adoption? The redemption of our body.
Right.
There it is.
Right.
How do preachers miss what the adoption is? The adoption is the rapture. That flesh there, I don't know who your daddy was, but you know what? He couldn't make flesh good enough for heaven. God said, I'll adopt that flesh there, Brother Travis. I'll make that flesh mine.
Thank you, Lord.
He never had to adopt your soul. He never had to adopt your spirit. It was born of God.
Okay?
Never had to adopt it. So that body's got to adopt it.
Yeah.
And he won't just strip and throw it away. Okay? Not naked. It'll be clothed upon.
Amen.
Okay? That other body will come on over that. You'll be like Jesus Christ on the road to Emmaus. You can perform to you appeared a couple different ways there. That body will be over you. Jesus Christ is the Son of God because his flesh was born of God, and that's what's different with him.
Right.
Okay? My flesh was not born of God. It'll be adopted at the rapture. My spirit is born of God.
Amen.
My soul is born of God. But the flesh of Jesus Christ was born of God.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Jesus Christ asked Peter, Simon Peter, who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what Jesus said? Well, you finally figured that out, Peter. No, he didn't say that.
Right.
He said, flesh and blood hath not shown this unto thee. But my Father, which is a man. It was a spiritual understanding, a spiritual way. You know what the problem in the churches is today? It's filled with people who only flesh and blood is the only one that ever shows
Jesus
is the Son of God.
That's right.
And they walk around with no more knowledge that Jesus is the Son of God than what the flesh can show. You ask them, who's he? Oh, he's the Son of God. They can even get good theological answers. But they've never had that moment where the Father himself has borne that knowledge into them.
Right.
Let me tell you something. The Arctic Tern. It'll fly from the North Pole to the South Pole. And no one ever had to sit down and show it how. When it hatched out of that egg, it was a yearning inside of it that it could not do anything but. Anybody ever watch those little kittens or little puppies get born? Anybody ever have to sit down and teach them puppies how to find those mama's milk sacs? Not at all. Those puppies just all that milk sack.
Right.
That old dog, I don't care how mean or whatever, just lays there and lets them puppies suck on it and them cats and do that and such. Why? Because God born it into them.
Sure.
And you know what? When a person's born again, you don't have to sit there and explain to them who Jesus is. You can help them with the words of the Bible and you can give them a little joy out of it, but it's born into their soul that he's the Son of God.
It's good.
Go to 1 John chapter 1. Mr. Stephen, would you be so kind as to get a cup there with some water and bring it to me? Thank you, young man. Love the spirit in that young man. Just quiet and does the things
he's
told to do. I love
listen,
that.
Need more like that.
That's right.
Yep.
1 John chapter 1 says, is that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Did they see his spirit with their eyes? Did they see his soul with their eyes? Thank you, Stephen. Which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life.
Yep.
What part of him did they touch? Mm. They touched his body.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it says? It was from the beginning. It's from the beginning. It's God. His body is God. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he, who's he? God laid down his life for us. So how could God die? Well, what is death? Adam was told, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He ate, recorded my Bible, he lived 900 years. See, 900 years from then, he died physically. He was separated. His spirit was separated from his body. That's the definition of physical death. For the body without the spirit is dead.
Yeah.
Then what's spiritual death? To be separated from God.
Yeah.
And the moment Adam ate thereof, he was separated from God.
Yes, sir.
You were born separated from God.
Right.
Separated from him. Born dead.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ on the cross was separated from God.
my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's separate. He's spiritually dead. Adam died two deaths. And if Jesus didn't die too, he didn't take your place.
Right.
Okay? Didn't take your place.
Right.
Adam died two deaths. Jesus died two deaths.
Right.
Separated from God. And then he yielded up his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Died a physical death. He died both deaths.
Right.
Okay? That's what death is. But you want to know what Peter called that body in the grave? The Holy One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the name of God, the book of Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
He called it the Holy One.
Yeah.
That body is God. Mm. The body was born of God.
Good.
Born of God. Mm-hmm. Okay? Let me show you eternal security. 1 John 3:9. Fundamentalists, for whatever reason, have decided to attack this verse.
Yeah.
If God's in it, they'll attack it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, let me say this. Got a fellow in my church, 76 years old, pastored a church for 40 years. He's down in southern Pennsylvania, got saved when he was 15 and a half years old. One of these meetings where a bunch of kids came in and such, and nobody ever tended to him or anything else. And he went the next 3 years just working in his family business. And some people found him, brought him back to church, and dedicated his life to the Lord. And was kind of one of these Protestant churches, but had a little bit of life from God in it. He got called to preach, went to a Protestant seminary. Preached in a denomination. Came up to Northwest Pennsylvania. Now that's the boondocks. A place called Bell Run Bible Church, or Bell Run Union Church, they called them at that time, where a bunch of these settlers would get together and they'd all build a church together, called it a union church. And after a while, they just all shared a pastor and such. And he pastored there for 6-7 years and realized that most of those people didn't have a born-again experience, weren't interested in a born-again experience. And by that time, God showed him a couple things. He didn't hold on to that King James Bible. Everybody else was switching it. And he started a Bible church. And then God got him under conviction. He needed to be a Baptist church. Now, I always found that strange because most men go the opposite way.
Yeah.
They start straight and just get worse as they go on.
Yeah.
Okay? This guy started in the wrong team and just slowly going the other way. Slowly come closer to God all along. And he pastored for 39 1/2 years. And I mean, if I took you outside, it's a road called Coon Hollow Road. Okay? Coon Hollow Road. And when you have to drive long ways down a paved road, and after a while you have to turn off onto a dirt road. And then you turn off onto another dirt road. And then you go down over this little bridge on Coon Hollow Road, and you come down there, and there's a church in the middle of a cornfield. And after 39 and a half years, he had 150 people coming there, putting $100,000 a year in the mission.
Praise God.
And he retired.
It's like Christmas, huh?
Yeah. He retired, okay? And the Lord showed me. First of all, he said this at a preacher's meeting. He said, I'm not going to stay here at this church. He said, it hurt the next guy coming in. He said, I'm going to have to go somewhere else. I'm going to move into the big city. Well, that's Olean. Olean has 20,000 people. That's the big city where we're at, all right? It's got a hospital in it. It's got a Walmart in it. It's probably got 5 or 6 streetlights in it, all right? And it's the big city where we are, Olean. And he said, I'm going to move into the city. And the Lord showed me, you bring that man to your church. And I had to write him an email and say, you're going to be pastor on there. You're not going to be part of the power structure. You just be pastor emeritus. You're going to be out there, hanging out there and such. And boy, I'll tell you what, you talk about a man who's been a blessing in our church.
Right.
But he used to be bothered because I don't have altar calls. He used to bother him. He used to bother his wife. His wife's a godly woman. I mean, I thought about a godly woman. She told me one day, she said, it really bothers me you don't have altar calls. See, my thing is always this. Call me from home. God's dealing with you. You go home and you call me from home and tell me what
She came to me one day and she said, you know, she said, I just read A.W. Tozier's biography. And back in the 50s, he quit having holler calls and told people, just call me from home. She said, don't bother him anymore. She said, you're doing exactly what A.W. Tozier does. She's the only two preachers I've ever heard say that. The guy that wrote that biography said this. He said he sat one time and A.W. Tozier preached the message and it just tore the place up. Tozier got done and said, well, come up here and cry. Go home and do something about it.
It's good.
You know what all the calls have become nowadays? Mm. Just some stupid way to applaud the preacher. The same old girls go, and go live like hell. Right? You don't see a bit of difference in anybody's life.
That's
the
right.
The call has become the Houston. It's become the brass serpent that don't mean nothing anymore.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. People call me from home, Pastor, I can't get over this thing.
Good.
Pastor, I'm torn to pieces over what you preach this morning. I'm torn over it, okay? Let God deal with it. So I thought, I'm going to hold this biography. So I get on Amazon and I order this biography. Same author, it turned out it wasn't a biography I ordered. It was a bunch of sermons of A.W. Tozier's. Then nobody had ever published them before, and his biographer found them, and then he just read them aloud on this CD set. They're about 15, 20 minutes or something like that. And let me tell you something. I knew right away it was of God because he made me mad. I listened to that, but I don't like that. I knew it was because of God, you know, and I didn't like what he said. All right, it was God. You know what A.W. Tozier was? When I got done, I knew one thing. I've never read anything of his before ever. But I knew one thing. What made him different is he could see his own time. He could see it. And that's the rarest thing in preachers. Is for men to have their eyes open and see their own time.
Right.
Now, I'm just telling you. I don't claim to see everything. But I know one thing. I see more than the average man sees.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And it ain't good when I see it. Yeah. The average church today has usually three or four born-again people in it, and then all sorts of people just playing a game. Okay? Preachers that can't tell the difference between who's saved and who's lost. It's been so long since they've actually had a convert in their church. What's a convert? A convert is somebody who has been saved and born again, who comes into the house of God, begins to change their life, live godly. They don't right away. You remember the first years, Brother Travis, you came into church, you saw the old saints of God, and thought, I could never live that way or anything. And you had that conviction. You remember those days coming in thinking, man, I could never live like they do. And you know, but slowly God worked with you, and you made mistakes, and the people understood, and God taught you. Try to find a family like that in a church today. They don't exist.
No.
They're gone. We've lost the ability to ever even go out and get those people. They're gone.
Yeah.
There's an English writer by the name of P.B. James, never read a single thing of hers, don't know as I'd ever watched it, but I heard her interviewed about her book one time. And she wrote a book, caused quite a stir, and in that book, somebody poisoned England so that babies couldn't be born anymore. And she said it took about 3-4 months. The midwives started realizing we're not getting work anymore. The hospitals realized nobody's pregnant. And then they realized in 1 year, no babies were born. Isn't it amazing the fundamentalists ain't caught on and it's been 20 years? And they ain't caught on to it? Ain't it amazing that they haven't caught on to it, that nobody's been born again anymore? You know what they've done? They've dumbed down what salvation is.
Right.
Now some guy can come in there and, you know, be a mess and go get a tattoo in the next weekend or something and, you know, just everything's vile or whatever. But, you know, oh, yeah, I'm for Trump and I'm for Jesus. And, you know, they just think that's God and, you know, and such. And they think, no.
Right.
That's straight out of hell. Okay? You're born again when God converts you.
Sir.
A.W. Tozier said, I fear that we're turning to formulas for salvation.
Mm.
That's what the last 50 years have been, formulas, mm-hmm. hasn't it?
Yeah.
Formulas. And he said, I far prefer for God to break a man in the pain on the inside. There was pain for me. Oh, it was pain. Mm-hmm. It hurt so bad when I got saved. It was pain. You ever see a convert go through that anymore? You don't see it, do you? You know what Tozier called them? Half-Christians. Mm-hmm. Half-Christians coming into the house of God, learning the ways. They're just half-Christians. They're Christians. It's half Christians. It's half Christians. It's all we have anymore. For John 3:9 says this: whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. That's eternal security. That's eternal security. Let me tell you something. I heard old Homer Smith back in 1908. I wasn't even saved yet.
Yeah.
I was going to Peter Rockman's, and I wasn't even saved. I was just one of them clowns learning how to destroy churches and how to come in and be smart Alex and that kind of stuff. What did he say? I heard old Homer Smith preach. You know what he said? He said Adam was in charge of the garden. And he said when Eve ate of that fruit, God didn't kick them out. He said they'd be there still if Adam hadn't eaten it. And he said, you know what? He said, every once in a while I'll eat that fruit again, but until my second Adam eats it, I ain't getting kicked out.
I never forgot that. There was something holy to that.
I never forgot that. That was good.
Good. Yeah.
That was good. Boy, we learned all that Jack Hiles hellish nonsense, Peter Ruckman hellish nonsense, going around getting as many people to pray as you can and such, and just damnation.
Right.
We're the ones that brought the sodomites in.
Right.
It wasn't the Jesuits, not the communists. For this cause, God shall turn them over to a reprobate mind.
Sure.
Okay? You know what I tell my people? So if you commit a little sodomy, God don't punish you for that. It is the punishment.
Right.
It is the punishment.
Yeah.
Right.
For this cause, God will turn them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That is the punishment.
That's more than you need.
That is it.
Right.
And you know what? You get up. Go find the best fundamental preacher you know. Go to a funeral in his family. Watch all the family members come around and the afflictions of the world are with them.
Yeah.
All the tattoos and the piercing.
That's right.
The sodomites, and they're all there. It's afflicted. God told Israel, he said, you do these things and the diseases of Egypt will not be upon you. But when Jesus Christ came on the earth, you know, he found the diseases of Egypt everywhere. Because they haven't walked right.
That's right.
They were all there. He healed those things. You want to know something? I don't care what fundamentals you find anymore. Go to his family. Go to a funeral. Go to a wedding of his family. And it's just shattered.
Yeah.
It's just shattered.
Sure.
It's just shattered. It's just destroyed all through. But inside of me is something that cannot sin.
Yeah.
You want to know something? If it could, I'd lose my salvation.
Right? Mm-hmm.
But it cannot sin.
Yeah.
But I have flesh that can't quit.
Right.
You know, Jesus had flesh that was born of God.
Yeah.
That's salvation. That's deliverance. That's what's different, him and I. You want to know what? When he redeems this body, the adoption, it will never sin again.
Amen.
We'll never sin again.
It'll be a blessed day.
Yep.
Never going to happen again.
All right?
Because he's God.
Hey.
He is salvation. He is deliverance.
Good.
He's Jehovah God. God laid down his life for us. That's how I know the love of God.
Right.
Had some old Jehovah Witnesses knock at my door. Now, I don't want to disrespect people, even them. I don't want to disrespect them as people. Okay? They actually glory in being disrespected. So even if I didn't have a normal concept of politeness, it's a mistake to disrespect. It's not just a mistake to tell them their stuff's out of hell or whatever else, but to disrespect them as a person. Don't do that to anybody, okay? Don't do that to anybody. In my church, people come in, I'm just telling you, they come in so broken. When their conscience begins to work again, these are people that walk both sides of the sexual aisle.
Right.
They have, okay? See, you go to a 7-Eleven, you go to pay for your gas, and that girl comes out there and half her head shaved, and this one's black, and you got tattoos on it and piercings and that. Some fundamentals get in the pulpit and mock that girl, shoot that man. You know what his problem is? He doesn't know how to get her converted. He has no clue how to make her lift holy hands without wrath or doubt. He has no idea how to make her weep over sin. He has no idea how to love that person.
That's right.
But every once in a while, they drag themselves into the Black Creek Baptist Church, and we love them. I've had them come in with their lesbian lovers. I showed them no disrespect. None whatsoever. You're not going to pull your any nonsense, but I wouldn't let a boy and a girl pull that kind of nonsense sitting there in front of me, okay? They're broken. They're hurt. the part of a nation that's been turned over to a reprobate mind. Now, there's two types of that thing. Now, keep this in mind. Utilizing surveys, when they survey sodomites, that 3/4 of all sodomites will say, I was molested as a child.
Goodness.
They're created, okay? That's just the ones that tell the truth the first time. 3/4, I was molested as a child.
Right.
And then a man like that grows up. I had a good friend of mine. First time I ever met him, he said, you know, I used to be a homosexual. I don't know what to do. And I found out, oh, he had an 8th grade teacher that was molesting him. Okay? He wasn't a homosexual. He's just a molested boy. Okay?
Right.
Thinking he's some kind of a sodomite or whatever else. And he could be just as born again as anybody. God never turned that boy over to a reprobate mind. This was a punishment to his daddy. This was a punishment to his people that happened. Okay? Not to him. That's why the Apostle Paul said, such were some of you.
Right.
Such were. Okay? Now you're washed. Now you're clean. Now you're justified.
Okay?
Something wonderful that's happened to you now. Not going back to that kind of thing. And then you have others who they themselves personally have been turned over to a reprobate mind.
Sure.
Where God reached into that thing and he clicked something. I have people come up, I think I'm reprobate. Are you worried about it? Yeah. Then you're not reprobate.
That's it, man.
Okay? If you're worried about it, you ain't reprobate.
That's right.
Okay? Reprobate, they don't worry about that kind of stuff.
No, they don't.
They used to say when a man starts a church in town, usually the devil starts one on the other side of town. You know what happened in our town? The building next door, a sodomite bought it, turned it into apartments, and rented out to sodomites.
Wow.
Okay? What do you do? I get along with them. No point throwing stones at them. No point in any of that kind of stuff. Dwell peaceably with all men. Okay? Come into the house of God. I love you, but I'm going to preach the truth to you.
Oh, yeah.
It hurts to live sinful.
Right.
It hurts, okay? I love what you said there about that thing, living for Jesus Christ. That wasn't the pain, living for the devil. That's what it hurts.
Sir.
It hurts,
yeah,
okay?
Sure.
Boy, if somebody could show you the truth and show you how to get out of that thing and show you how to live like this.
Oh, yeah.
This man, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The second Adam. Made in the image of, you know, Adam was made in the image of God.
Right.
And Jesus was made in the image of God. You realize they're identical twins? Yeah. If you saw one, see the other. You know what Jesus Christ was? He was God genetically recreating Adam from all the genes on the earth. Mm. Recreating Adam. Mm. He didn't just use Jews. He used 2 races. He used Ham. And you shall. The only one he wouldn't put in there is Japheth. Because Japheth is the most cursed of all of them. Got the yellow hair, okay? Got that yellow hair of the leprosy. Japheth shall live in the tents of Shem. Anybody here proud when their kids live in somebody else's house? That make you proud? You want to raise her where she lives in other people's houses?
No.
That's called Section 8. It's called welfare. Okay? That's what it's called.
Right.
That's what it's called. Jesus Christ and Aunt Jemima in his own lineup. Who's that? Rahab the harlot. If that ain't Aunt Jemima, who is?
That's right.
That's right. She's out of one of the 7. Ham had 4 sons. One of them was cursed.
Okay?
She comes out of the cursed lineage. She's Aunt Jemima. Do you realize Jesse was 1/8? 1/8, am I? That he could have been sold in the South as a slave. You realize that? Imagine being the person meeting David.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't let him sit in the front seat of a bus. You wouldn't let my daddy in the front seat of a bus.
Mm.
You want to be the person who did that? Mm-hmm. After the book of Genesis, you know when Japheth is mentioned again? In the book of Ezekiel, they're slave traders.
Yeah.
It's not mentioned again. From the book of Genesis, God ignores Japheth. They're out there living in vile sin. Okay?
Right.
The great kingdoms were Ham, and the great kingdoms were Shem. It wasn't until the grace of God in these last 300-400 years has taken the most horrible, wretched people and raised us up through the grace of Jesus Christ and the gospel, and we have turned it all into lasciviousness.
Oh, boy.
You go into the whitest places in this country now,
right.
And they're liberals.
Right.
Those old Protestants, they're the most vile, disgusting people you'll ever meet. They have turned the grace of God into the most vile thing. They're bringing this country as low as they can every turn that they can get it.
Yeah.
Okay? What's our job? Preach Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Somewhere or other, God has got to show a people how to carve out people for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And if you think the fundamentalists are the way to do it, you ain't been sitting and watching the people I've been watching.
Right.
They've all turned themselves over to rock and roll.
That's right.
You know, and then get mad at these. You know, I've become convinced of. I've become convinced that some guy went ahead and painted half his hair black and pierced his nose and put jangly stuff all over the place and some guitar with a devil on it or something got up there and said, King James, if an old preacher man, then everybody'd fall apart and think that's a god, okay? Just go sit in any of the services nowadays. It's a grief to God. This church can be something different. I know preachers all over give anything to have this many young people sit together.
Yes,
sir. This many young people. Even young couples. I had a pretty good guy last Thursday night, Jim Donath, and he's a pretty good guy. Been living clean for many years. Got a church right in the middle of Buffalo, New York. Middle class neighborhood. Jim's just a wonderful musician. His wife, a wonderful musician. They get 17, 18 people coming. He said, we just can't get anybody young. It's all old people. Don't know how. Don't know how to do it. God would give anything. Young couple there. Young couple there. Okay. Young people. There's a young lady right back there. All right. Young. I don't think we give anything to have that.
All right.
Anything. You preach a King James Bible to them. You don't compromise with their foolishness. And don't ever tell them they're saved. If the Holy Ghost can't,
right,
you don't do it.
Right.
Okay? The Holy Ghost can't, you don't do it. Pastor Vernon, let me go enjoy this good water that's taking
off. Good, buddy.
Good.
Good.
Then just a good boy.
Thank you, God.
What do you say, boy? We are living in a generation where we're making folks too full of child of hell.
That's it.
I had a deacon at an independent fundamental Baptist church the other day want to show me a video. It just really embarrassed me. His daughter, I guess, she's probably about the age of Gracie. And she's going to sing a little Jesus song. And she was naked, fixing to get in the tub. And he thought he videoed it. He showed it to me. It embarrassed me to death because she's standing there naked singing about Jesus.
Wow.
And I just turned to that deacon and said, yeah. What she needs is to put some clothes on. So she's naked.
He can go to jail for that.
That's right. That's exactly right. So she's naked. But that's coming out of our good.
Oh, yeah.
Our good churches today.
Right, right.
What's amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Just about as godless as a goat.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Brother Ashwood, thank you so much
for being here.
Yeah. Sir, thank you for having me. Thank you, Big Faye, for getting sick.
Amen. Amen. Oh, man. Poor Brother McVeigh, poor Miss Stephanie, poor Miss Clayton. Thank you, son. Well, hey, glad you're here, man.
What
I didn't notice you was here till now. I appreciate you coming.
Thank you, sir.
You was here tonight. Will, thank you for being here. Will's been here every day.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here.
That's
my stepdad back there.
I like him.
He's a good one.
He's good, ain't he?
Oh, yeah.
Man. Let's take up an offering.
Amen.
Let's take up an offering, Brother Clayton. I begged him to please come. And, man, he came.
That's right.
Let's help him. Let's help him get it back home, unless y'all want to keep him.
I'd like to do both.
I would, too.
Some people more trouble than there were.
I'm telling you that.
Stephen, get us an offering plate, young man.
I'm actually getting the churches. Well, they said, we're not paying you for preaching. We're paying you to leave. Well, it takes you rid of it.
He did the preaching, but
I like it.
Mine.
How about that?
That's. If he'll go along with it,
we took an offer. That was the bathroom. We'll wait for it.
I wish he'd hurry up. God, I need to go.
It's sickening.
He's going right back home tonight.
God, we all good if you could say
it. Did he come out of that bathroom?
No, we're going to hold up. He's adjusted his fluid levels. But,
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I never heard it on that fight. That's good.
Father, we thank you for this.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, dear Lord, for the good word of God.
Oh, yes. Help us, Jesus.
Lord, we do want to thank you, Lord, for salvation. We'll thank you for true salvation. We'll thank you for Jesus.
Thank you for your mercy.
We'll thank you for the man Christ. Lord, thank you for the sacrifice. We'll thank you for the blood. Thank you, dear God, for reaching down to the bottom of my pit, Lord. God, bringing me up out of it, Lord, saving me, washing me. God,
yes.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing me down to the house of
be
God.
Merciful.
Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. You've been so good to me.
Yes,
Lord,
you have.
You've been so good to me. Lord, every day of my life, dear God, you've just been a blessing to me, God.
Thank you, Father.
You just look after me, God. You answer my prayers, God. You fellowship with me. You give me your blessed book. You feed me out of it, Lord. I just want to thank you for it. Lord God, the place we come, Lord, open the word of God, receive from God Almighty. Lord, we don't have to stand under here at gunpoint or hideout.
Lord,
we stand over here on the side of the road just with the lights on, the doors unlocked. God, we've got freedom in the Lord Jesus. Want to thank you for the liberty in Christ Jesus. Want to thank you tonight, God, for blessing us so bad.
Yes, God.
God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord Jesus. God, we might, God, draw closer to you and be more like Jesus. And God, those that's in here that's lost, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God, Lord, would tear them all to pieces.
Yeah.
I pray tonight, God, that you'd take their sleep. God, I pray that you'd take their appetite. I pray, blessed God, that it would just be as hard as it could possibly
good
get.
Lord,
there ain't nowhere to go but Jesus. Lord, where could I go but to the Lord? I pray, God, tonight you'd get each and every sinner in this place, Lord, to that point. God, that they might be gloriously saved by the marvelous grace of God and enjoy the riches that's in Christ Jesus. Enjoy the good grace and enjoy the joy and the peace and the fellowship. And God, that daily walk, Lord, with Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you'd bless us all. For thank you, God, for bringing Brother Clayton into our life. And Lord, pray that you'd bless him, Lord, and look after him and take care of his wife, God, and his family. Lord, we give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.